chapter 62, Justified by Faith.
This article appeared in the Bible Students Library Series, April 1893. When God pardons the sinner, remits the punishment he deserves, and treats him as though he had not sinned, he receives him into divine favor and justifies him through the merits of Christ's righteousness. The sinner can be justified only through faith in the atonement made through God's dear Son, who became a sacrifice for the sins of the guilty world. No one can be justified by any works of his own. He can be delivered from the guilt of sin, from the condemnation of the law, from the penalty of transgression, only by virtue of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ. Faith is the only condition upon which justification can be obtained, and faith includes not only belief, but trust. Many have a nominal faith in Christ, but they know nothing of that vital dependence upon him which appropriates the merits of a crucified and risen Savior. Of this nominal faith, James says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" James 2:19 and 20. Many concede that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, but at the same time they hold themselves away from him and fail to repent of their sins, fail to accept of Jesus as their personal Savior. Their faith is simply the assent of the mind and judgment to the truth. But the truth is not brought into the heart that it might sanctify the soul and transform the character. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8:29 and 30. Calling and justification are not one and the same thing. Calling is the drawing of the sinner to Christ, and it is a work wrought by the Holy Spirit upon the heart, convicting of sin and inviting to repentance. Many are confused as to what constitutes the first steps in the work of salvation. Repentance is thought to be a work the sinner must do for himself in order that he may come to Christ. They think that the sinner must procure for himself a fitness in order to obtain the blessing of God's grace. But while it is true that repentance must precede forgiveness, for it is only the broken and contrite heart that is acceptable to God, yet the sinner cannot bring himself to repentance or prepare himself to come to Christ. Except the sinner repent, he cannot be forgiven. But the question to be decided is as to whether repentance is the work of the sinner or the gift of Christ. Must the sinner wait until he is filled with remorse for his sin before he can come to Christ? The very first step to Christ is taken through the drawing of the Spirit of God. As man responds to this drawing, he advances toward Christ in order that he may repent. The sinner is represented as a lost sheep, and a lost sheep never returns to the fold unless he is sought after and brought back to the fold by the shepherd. No man of himself can repent and make himself worthy of the blessing of justification. The Lord Jesus is constantly seeking to impress the sinner's mind and attract him to behold himself, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. We cannot take a step toward spiritual life save as Jesus draws and strengthens the soul and leads us to experience that repentance which needeth not to be repented of. When before the high priests and Sadducees, Peter clearly presented the fact that repentance is the gift of God. Speaking of Christ, he said, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Acts 5:31. Repentance is no less the gift of God than our pardon and justification, and it cannot be experienced except as it is given to the soul by Christ. If we are drawn to Christ, it is through his power and virtue. The grace of contrition comes through him, and from him comes justification. The meaning of faith. Paul writes, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, Who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:6-10. The faith that is unto salvation is not a casual faith. It is not the mere consent of the intellect. It is belief rooted in the heart that embraces Christ as a personal Savior, assured that he can save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. To believe that he will save others but will not save you is not genuine faith. But when the soul lays hold upon Christ as the only hope of salvation, then genuine faith is manifested. This faith leads its possessor to place all the affections of the soul upon Christ. His understanding is under the control of the Holy Spirit, and his character is molded after the divine likeness. His faith is not a dead faith, but a faith that works by love and leads him to behold the beauty of Christ and to become assimilated to the divine character. Deuteronomy 30:11-14 quoted. "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." Deuteronomy 30:6. It is God that circumcises the heart. The whole work is the Lord's from the beginning to the end. The perishing sinner may say, "I am a lost sinner, but Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost." He says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Mark 2:17. "I am a sinner, and he died upon Calvary's cross to save me. I need not remain a moment longer unsaved. He died and rose again for my justification, and he will save me now. I accept the forgiveness he has promised." Imputed righteousness. Christ is a risen Savior. For though he was dead, he has risen again, and ever liveth to make intercession for us. We are to believe with the heart unto righteousness, and with the mouth make confession unto salvation. Those who are justified by faith will make confession of Christ. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." John 5:24. The great work that is wrought from the sinner who is spotted and stained by evil is the work of justification. By him who speaketh truth, it is declared righteous. The Lord imputes unto the believer the righteousness of Christ and pronounces him righteous before the universe. He transferred his sins to Jesus, the sinner's representative, substitute, and surety. Upon Christ he lays the iniquity of every soul that believeth. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Christ made satisfaction for the guilt of the whole world, and all who will come to God in faith will receive the righteousness of Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Our sin has been expiated, put away, cast into the depths of the sea. Through repentance and faith, we are rid of sin, and look unto the Lord our righteousness. Jesus suffered the just for the unjust. Although as sinners we are under the condemnation of the law, yet Christ by his obedience rendered to the law claims for the repentant soul the merit of his own righteousness. In order to obtain the righteousness of Christ, it is necessary for the sinner to know what that repentance is, which works a radical change of mind and spirit and action. The work of transformation must begin in the heart and manifest its power through every faculty of the being. But man is not capable of originating such a repentance as this, and can experience it alone through Christ, who ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Who is desirous of becoming truly repentant? What must he do? He must come to Jesus just as he is, without delay. He must believe that the word of Christ is true, and believing the promise, ask that he may receive. When sincere desire prompts men to pray, they will not pray in vain. The Lord will fulfill his word, and will give the Holy Spirit to lead to repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He will pray and watch and put away his sins, making manifest his sincerity by the vigor of his endeavor to obey the commandments of God. With prayer, he will mingle faith and not only believe in but obey the precepts of the law. He will announce himself as on Christ's side of the question. He will renounce all habits and associations that tend to draw the heart from God. He who would become a child of God must receive the truth that repentance and forgiveness are to be obtained through nothing less than the atonement of Christ. Assured of this, the sinner must put forth an effort in harmony with the work done for him, and with unwearied entreaty, he must supplicate the throne of grace, that the renovating power of God may come into his soul. Christ pardons none but the penitent. But whom he pardons, he first makes penitent. The provision made is complete, and the eternal righteousness of Christ is placed to the account of every believing soul. The costly, spotless robe, woven in the loom of heaven, has been provided for the repenting, believing sinner. And he may say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61:10. Abundant grace has been provided that the believing soul may be kept free from sin, for all heaven with its limitless resources has been placed at our command. We are to draw from the well of salvation. Christ is the end of law for righteousness to everyone that who believeth. In ourselves we are sinners, but in Christ we are righteous, having made us righteous through the imputed righteousness of Christ. God pronounces us just and treats us as just. He looks upon us as his dear children. Christ works against the power of sin, and where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Romans 3, 24 through 26. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8. And John 1, 14 through 16, quoted. The promise of the Spirit. The Lord would have his people sound in the faith, not ignorant of the great salvation so abundantly provided for them. They are not to look forward, thinking that at some future time a great work is to be done for them, for the work is now complete. The believer is not called upon to make his peace with God. He never has, nor ever can do this. He is to accept Christ as his peace. For with Christ is God and peace. Christ made an end of sin, bearing its heavy curse in his own body on the tree, and he hath taken away the curse from all those who believe in him as a personal Savior. He makes an end of the controlling power of sin in the heart, and the life and character of the believer testify to the genuine character of the grace of Christ. To those that ask him, Jesus imparts the Holy Spirit, for it is necessary that every believer should be delivered from pollution, as well as from the curse and condemnation of the law. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification of the truth, the believer becomes fitted for the courts of heaven, for Christ works within us, and his righteousness is upon us. Without this, no soul will be entitled to heaven. We would not enjoy heaven unless qualified for its holy atmosphere by the influence of the Spirit and the righteousness of Christ. In order to be candidates for heaven, we must meet the requirement of the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 10:27. We can do this only as we grasp by faith the righteousness of Christ. By beholding Jesus, we receive a living, expanding principle in the heart, and the Holy Spirit carries on the work, and the believer advances from grace to grace, from strength to strength, from character to character. He conforms to the image of Christ, until in spiritual growth he attains unto the measure of the full stature in Christ Jesus. Thus, Christ makes an end of the curse of sin and sets the believing soul free from its action and effect. Christ alone is able to do this, for in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. Reconciliation means that every barrier between the soul and God is removed, and that the sinner realizes what the pardoning love of God means. By reason of the sacrifice made by Christ for fallen men, God can justly pardon the transgressor who accepts the merits of Christ. Christ was the channel through which the mercy, love, and righteousness might flow from the heart of God to the heart of the sinner. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. In the prophecy of Daniel, it was recorded of Christ that he shall make reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness. Daniel 9:24. Every soul may say, by his perfect obedience, he has satisfied the claims of the law, and my only hope is found in looking to him as my substitute and surety, who obeyed the law perfectly for me. By faith in his merits, I am free from the condemnation of the law. He clothes me with his righteousness, which answers all the demands of the law. I am complete in him who brings in everlasting righteousness. He presents me to God in the spotless garment of which no thread was woven by any human agent. All is of Christ, and all the glory, honor, and majesty are to be given to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Many think that they must wait for a special impulse in order that they may come to Christ, but it is necessary only to come in sincerity of purpose, deciding to accept the offers of mercy and grace that have been extended to us. We are to say, Christ died to save me. The Lord's desire is that I should be saved, and I will come to Jesus just as I am without delay. I will venture upon the promise. As Christ draws me, I will respond. The apostle says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Romans 10:10. No one can believe with the heart unto righteousness and obtain justification by faith while continuing the practice of those things which the Word of God forbids, or while neglecting any known duty. God works the fruit of faith. Genuine faith will be manifested in good works, for good works are the fruits of faith. As God works in the heart, and man surrenders his will to God and cooperates with God, he works out in the life what God works in by the Holy Spirit, and there is harmony between the purpose of the heart and the practice of the life. Every sin must be renounced as the hateful thing that crucified the Lord of life and glory, and the believer must have a progressive experience by continually doing the works of Christ. It is by continual surrender of the will, by continual obedience, that the blessing of justification is retained. Those who are justified by faith must have a heart to keep the way of the Lord. It is an evidence that a man is not justified by faith when his works do not correspond to his profession. James says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect? James 2:22. The faith that does not produce good works does not justify the soul. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. James 2:24. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans 4:3. Imputation of the righteousness of Christ comes through justifying faith, and is the justification for which Paul so earnestly contends. He says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid! Yea, we establish the law. Romans 3:20-31. Grace is unmerited favor, and the believer is justified without any merit of his own, without any claim to offer to God. He is justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who stands in the courts of heaven as the sinner's substitute and surety. But while he is justified because of the merit of Christ, he is not free to work unrighteousness. Faith works by love and purifies the soul. Faith buds and blossoms and bears a harvest of precious fruit. Where faith is, good works appear. The sick are visited, the poor are cared for, the fatherless and the widows are not neglected, the naked are clothed, the destitute are fed. Christ went about doing good, and when men are united with him, they love the children of God, and meekness and truth guide their footsteps. The expression of the countenance reveals their experience, and men take knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus and learned of him. Christ and the believer become one, and his beauty of character is revealed in those who are vitally connected with the source of power and love. Christ is the great depository of justifying righteousness and sanctifying grace. All may come to him and receive of his fullness. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. Then why not cast aside all unbelief and heed the words of Jesus? You want rest? You long for peace? Then say from the heart, "Lord Jesus, I come, because thou hast given me this invitation." Believe in him with steadfast faith, and he will save you. Have you been looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith? Have you been beholding him who is full of truth and grace? Have you accepted the peace which Christ alone can give? If you have not, then yield to him, and through his grace, seek for a character that will be noble and elevated. Seek for a constant, resolute, cheerful spirit. Feed on Christ, who is the bread of life, and you will manifest his loveliness of character and spirit.